ministry of Carmen United Church in Sydney Mines. In this message today, we are looking at Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 through 9. But before we begin, I invite you to join me in prayer.
Lord, as we gather here today, as we seek your strength and your wisdom in our lives, as we look forward to the year ahead, Lord, may the words, my mouth, and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight. You who are our rock, our strength, and our redeemer. Amen. So, welcome to 2018 at Carmen United Church. And we are looking forward to a wonderful year. We've got some wonderful and great things planned, which are geared to help us engage in our faith and to grow in our faith, and also to grow in our relationship with God through the saving power of Jesus Christ. As mentioned, we've got Alpha beginning on Tuesday evening, which is really exciting because it is the churches coming together to offer this program. And that's really exciting because it's the first in the memory of some people for a very long time. I mean, talking with Pastor Rick, he said in the 25 years he's been there, he doesn't remember such a concerted effort of the churches together to take this opportunity to evangelize to the community, to tell people about Jesus, to invite them to come to know him in our lives. Of course, being our first time running, it is going to be a little bit smaller. I think Marcy told me we've got about 30 people so far, which is great for a first time through. And of course, we do have room for a couple more. But we hope that this, as we work together on this, it'll grow into something much bigger. And of course, we'll still have our annual Holy Week lunches before Easter. That'll be shared with our churches. We've got the service coming up next week for the week of prayer for Christian unity. Lots of good things coming up. And even here at Carmen, we'll continue with the Hearing God courses once the Alpha program is finished. We're also going to have a retreat here at Carmen in mid-April. It'll be somewhat of a version that I and Bev and Craig have experienced in Manitoba, a set-free retreat. So we're really looking forward to offering that here. I've got people coming from out of province even to come and experience it with us. So lots going on, and registration for that will be coming up in a few weeks. So we can start to get an idea of how many we've got. I guess what we're experiencing is that there's an understanding that a deepening of our faith and a constant pursuit of God in our lives is crucial for ourselves and for the church, any church. It doesn't matter what church you are, what denomination you belong to, what style of worship you offer, how you do communion, how often you do communion, when do you baptize. None of that really matters unless you're really seeking the will of God for yourself and for your church. And when you look at all that we're offering this year, Alpha, Hearing God, worship services, lunches, it's all an effort to grow our faith through exploring what it means to be a child of God, a Christian in the world today. And as we're in the first couple weeks of the new year, this is often a time when we might start to consider what it is we're doing in our lives. What does 2018 look like for us? What are our goals? Now, maybe some of us have set some New Year's resolutions, and hopefully you're still keeping them going after 2 weeks, or you haven't given up yet. Some of us may take this time to reflect on the year gone by and say, well, maybe I could have done this a little bit better. Maybe there's some small changes I can make in my life to help have a greater 2018. For the last few weeks, since, you know, just before Christmas, I have been looking at a particular something on sale. I kept thinking, I don't know if I need this. It might be nice to have, but it's not critical to my life. So I kind of let it slide. We didn't get shopping on Boxing Week. It was listed in the Boxing Week sales. And so we didn't get anywhere on Boxing Week, so I didn't want to buy it online. I kind of wanted to see it up close. And so I let it go. But then it kept extending the sale. Another week. And sure enough, Bev and I were in Sydney last week, and it was still on sale. So I had a chance to look at it close, and I was like, yeah, okay, I'll get it. So I bought a Fitbit. So Fitbit, if you don't know what it is, they have a number of products, but they're best known for those bands you wear that track your heart rate and your steps and the general health of your life, apparently. And I bought the smartwatch version. It was a really nice sale on that one. But so it's part of just tracking how my health is. I'd like to get an idea. I know I'm not in the same shape I was 20 years ago, that's for sure. But I would like to start to move back toward that direction a little bit. And so it might help, right? So what I've learned is I'm in decent shape, apparently, after the first few days of wearing it. I could stand to lose a few pounds, but that kind of goes without saying for pretty well everybody, right? The Fitbit tells me this. So the past few days, I've been tracking my exercise, which hasn't been a lot the last few days, as well as my diet, because it comes with software. You can track all these things. The good news is I'm not in as bad a shape as I thought I might have been. But again, there's room for improvement. Now, I'm a numbers guy, so I know that I've needed to make some changes if I want to be a little bit healthier. But now, because I've got the numbers all through my watch and my app on my phone, I can see that really, with a couple of simple changes, I should be able to start to move in the right direction. I should be able to start to get on a little better, healthier lifestyle. And it's abundantly clear that it's probably start with diet would be the place to start after recording everything I've been eating for the last 4 days. A healthier lifestyle, when I look at the numbers, doesn't seem to be quite so hard to attain. So maybe, just maybe, 2018 will be the year when I start to move in that direction to a little healthier lifestyle. Just like 2017 was the year I finally went to the dentist. Remember I talked about that a while back? Maybe 2018 will be the year that I start to move to a slightly healthier lifestyle. I keep joking that Bev lost the baby weight, but I never did. However you're looking at 2018, whether it's from a personal perspective or a spiritual view or from your work or however you're looking at it, it's good to have a plan, it's good to have goals, have objectives along the way, and of course it's always good to have someone in your corner while you're doing it. Coming into a new year can sometimes feel intimidating, especially if we know there's things we've been kind of putting off that we don't really necessarily want to deal with, but we all know we can only put it off for so long. At some point, you're going to need to face whatever it is that you're trying to put off. So maybe 2018 is the year when we need to face it, and if so, it can be feeling a little intimidating. So I thought with the turn of the calendar and the prospect of a new year ahead of us, as people, as churches, as families, as citizens of CBRM and Nova Scotia and the world, and as members of a church, that maybe we could take a little peek at where Joshua was at this point in his life that we read this morning. Now, Joshua is a close friend of Moses. Now, Joshua's father, Nun, was an aide of Moses, so he was at his side all the time. And Joshua, being his son, certainly would have been very close to Moses as well. It would have been pretty much family, as best you could probably describe it. He would have been with Moses throughout most of the journey through the wilderness. He would have witnessed much of what was going on in the leadership of the Israelites at the time. And when Moses passes away, it is Joshua who is chosen to be the leader, the one who lead the people into the promised land. So that confirms for us that Joshua was very close to Moses and knew the inner workings of the leadership at that time. And that's where we pick up our reading today. Joshua is just being handed the mantle of leadership as the people are about to go into the promised land of God. The promise that God had made long ago to the people. So finally, they've just spent 40 years in the desert wandering, and they've just spent before that generations of slavery in Egypt. God's chosen people will finally have a place they can call home. So how exciting it must be for Joshua to lead the people into this new land at this time. But at the same time, it was probably pretty terrifying. So they've just had 40 years of great leadership from Moses, and those were some tough times walking through the wilderness. And Joshua is leading them into a new land, but this land is not vacant. There are people living there. He knows there will be challenges as people walk into the land, you know, as a nomadic people trying to settle roots down in a place that's already occupied by a fortified city of Jericho. I kind of consider myself a nomad once, so I wonder if I may feel a little bit like Joshua at that time, being asked to settle down roots in a different place. In the first 10 years of our marriage, Bev and I had 8 different addresses in 3 provinces. Anna had 3 addresses before she was 1. So it can be tricky to say, walk into a place and say, okay, this is home now. Now, I'm not saying Sydney Mines was as intimidating as walking into Jericho, but it just feels different when you know that you're moving into a place you can call home for however long God wills you to stay there. And thankfully, we'll stay here. So Joshua, there's no doubt he's feeling uncertain too. He's not sure what to expect when he walks across the river into the promised land. And so God gives him a pep talk. God tells Joshua, everywhere you can see, this will be your land. He takes him up on a hill and says, look, down to the desert there, all of that land, that's yours. Now look, see the river way over there? That's your land too. Oh, and look, see the Mediterranean Sea way over there? That's yours. All of that you can see will be your land. So be strong, be brave, go into the land. I have promised you, I will be with you always, God tells him. Now how would you feel if God took you up on a hill and said, everything you can see is yours. This is your promised land. You feel pretty good, wouldn't you? You feel pretty pumped up. You'd be pretty excited. You'd be pretty ready to lead the way, and I'm sure Joshua is at that moment too. God has promised everything he can see promised everything they could see to the Israelites. So with all this renewed energy, and he's ready to go, and God just gives him a couple final instructions before he sends him on his way. God says, be careful to obey all my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Now, Joshua knows the law. I mean, as we mentioned, he's really close to Moses. I mean, he was probably there when Moses wrote most of it down. He has witnessed a lot of what Scripture says with his own eyes, as Moses recorded their journey through the desert. So if anyone knows what the Scriptures say, it's Joshua, no question. So why is God asking him to sit with it all that time? Now, I happen to know a lot of lyrics to 80s songs. Now, because I know the lyrics to 80s songs, does that mean I understand the meaning behind all of them? Do I know the importance of these songs to the writers and performers of these songs? No, it doesn't. Basically, it just means I have a lot of useless information trapped in my head. Now, I'm not saying memorizing Scripture is akin to useless information, but what I'm saying is it's important to understand it. Notice what the Lord tells Joshua to do. He says, keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. God tells Joshua to not just memorize it, because what's the point? Joshua knows it. God's asking him to make it part of himself. Joshua doesn't need to memorize Scripture, so God tells him, meditate with it day and night. I mean, Joshua saw it all. So why does he need to meditate on it? What more could he possibly learn? Well, one of the things we learn in the Hearing God course is that God speaks to us most often and most clearly through Scripture, through the Bible. That is God's Word presented to us on the pages of our Bibles. And they're more important to us than just words on a page. The words of the Bible are life-changing instructions from the Lord Himself, revealed to us who read them or hear them. So as we read our Bibles, we are receiving the Word of God personally into our hearts and to our minds. And through these words, we are challenged, we are affirmed, we are taught, we are drawn closer to God in ways we may not expect. If we know God's words, if we know our Bibles, and if we take those words to heart, that is, if we meditate on them day and night and let them speak to us, then we are in deeper relationship with our Creator. So this is the invitation that God is extending to Joshua. God is telling Joshua to take these words, these stories that he knows in his head really well, and move them into his heart. And by moving them into his heart, God is better able to communicate with Joshua what the next steps of the chosen people will be, of what his followers will be. That is the plan of the Israelites. God's plan for the Israelites. And so if Joshua is going to do this, if he's willing to do this, then God tells him that he will be with him wherever he goes. So I wonder what we can learn from this in our own lives. I wonder when we look at our relatively empty calendars for 2018, although we know they can fill up quickly, what does God have to say to us as we move into this time of opportunity, this year of opportunity, this maybe a year of change, who knows? But this year, God has gifted to us as people of faith. These are interesting times in which we live. Times of in which the church, as people of faith, maybe we need to make ourselves known. I had a call from a man the other day. He was down on his luck and wondering if we had some money to help him out. Now, I get these calls every so often, and unfortunately, I can usually tell within the first sentence if this is a script or not. And sadly, most of them are. People looking for money for other reasons than what they're asking. Happens far more often than we like to admit. You can quickly identify the pattern to the script. And of course, being in a network of clergy across the country, we share our stories, so we tend to recognize them even quicker. People trying to scam the church out of a few dollars so they can buy drugs or whatever they need. And so I knew pretty quickly that this was another one of those people just trying to get a quick buck out of the church. I've heard this story many times before. When I get these phone calls, what I try to do, because basically we don't have a benevolent fund anyway, we support other organizations which help people. So I always try to direct the caller to the organization based on the description of their problem to that organization. And as I started to direct the caller to somewhere else, he very quickly became agitated and angry. Again, this is part of the pattern I experience. This is not a first time. But it wasn't the best of days for him to be calling. I didn't feel like taking abuse, so I hung up. The last words I heard before I hung up the phone were, typical church. Now, I almost called him back. You kind of pushed my button a little bit. I kind of wondered where his attitude was coming from, given that he was very eager to receive a few dollars from the church just a few minutes ago. And he claimed he had called all the places to suddenly become angry and threatening on the phone. So this church he was trying to get money, well, take money from, is now the source of his problem all of a sudden, it seems. But I didn't call him back. The caller ID probably wouldn't have worked anyway, from my experience. But the phone call did get me thinking, though. Got me thinking, what is the view of the church in the world today? Generally, it's not very good, though, is it? You look at the entertainment industry, we're not held up in high regard, and social media, or there seems to be a lot of attacks on the church these days. Why is that? Well, I think part of the problem is that the church in general has lost its edge. That maybe we've started looking a little too inward instead of outward. Certainly, you could point to some denominations and see that. We've stopped engaging people in their faith, of reaching out with the love of Christ. In some churches, you could even say they've stopped engaging their own faith. Again, not us. But there are plenty of examples out there of churches that have just given up on faith themselves. How can churches expect to draw people when they themselves don't show Christ living in them through their actions outside the church? Who are we as self-proclaimed followers of Jesus Christ, and how do people know it outside the church? I think we need to remember those words, those instructions the Lord gave to Joshua. Be strong and very courageous. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. So what do we? So we do these things. We meditate on God's word day and night. We let the Lord speak to us through our prayer times and through the Bible readings. And so what does God tell us will happen? Well, if you look back at our reading to what he said to Joshua, God told Joshua, then you will be prosperous and successful. Sounds good to me. Would you like to be prosperous and successful in your spiritual life? Well, let's see what God has in store for us for 2018. Let's be strong. Let's be brave. Let's be courageous. Let's be bold in who we are as children of the living God. Let's embrace our faith and follow Jesus into a deeper relationship with our Father in heaven. Let us know his word. Let us know him in our hearts and watch as we prosper and grow with the blessings of God in our lives. Let us pray. Almighty God, in Joshua you launched a new nation through the promises you made with his ancestors all the way back to Abraham. You promised them they would have ownership over all they could see, but they would only have it if they depended on you. Lord, we do not desire dominion or ownership of our community, but we do desire for our church to grow and prosper. We desire for all churches to grow and prosper. But we can only do this if we depend on you. And so, Lord, we offer all that we see to you, from here to the harbor, from here to the hills, from here to the fields. Lord, all we can see from our perch here in the north side, we ask you to take ownership of it all and bring it to your glory. And God, if you desire us to be part of this, we welcome your guidance. We welcome your leadership over all this church for 2018 and beyond. May we be bold, may we be courageous in what you are calling us to do and be in this world. And let us all do it in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son, who is our Lord and our Savior. Amen and amen.
Thank you for listening to Be Still and Know, a ministry of Carmen United Church in Sydney Mines. To learn more about our ministry, please visit our website, www.carmenunited.ca. May God bless you this day.